Saturday afternoon and time for the sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, it's yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the fans gather these Saturday afternoons to rehash the big games, the fights, and the races. It's open house, and your opinion as to why the Dodgers lost that tough one is just as good as the next fellow's. It's the Hot Stove League in action, and host for these occasions is the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice not only settles most of the arguments, but he always has a good story for his friends, stories collected during 30 years of covering all the big sporting events. So now join us in fancy down at the Sportsman's Club for another story especially selected for you by Grantland Rice.
What's your sport for today, Granny?
Well, Fred, this is March 4th, and I think we ought to stick to baseball. You know the clubs will be going to spring training in just a few days now.
Well, speaking of spring training, it's not like the old days, is it, Granny?
No, in the old days, spring training was a pretty carefree existence, especially for sports writers. We don't get south of Cairo, Illinois now, or even south Boston. But the players seem to get in pretty good condition just the same.
Well, how about the sports writers, Granny?
Well, I guess we managed to bear up, Bob.
What's the yarn today, Granny?
A very timely one, Fred. Listen and see if you don't agree. Stanley Frank wrote this one for Collier's, and he called it Old Indispensable. It's a story of Quentin Boyle, a pitcher who could win ball games, but not the respect of his fellow man. Let's hear about Quint Boyle from a fellow who knew him well, Ras Cobb, the sports writer.
Quint Boyle? Never liked the guy, and he knew it. We could pitch. Nobody wins 21 games in a season just by accident, but he won't win any more in the major leagues. Boyle's through. His arm's as dead as a fried mackerel. The way I get the story, Boyle's skill as a pitcher is well lost. He's found something worth a good deal more. Maybe I'd better start at the beginning, when Boyle, with his usual gall, summoned all the sports writers to a meeting at a downtown restaurant. A press conference, if you please, as if Boyle was president or something.
Yeah. Well, I've got a cup of coffee.
Now, where is the guy, anyway? He said he'd be here at 1 o'clock. It's 1:30 now.
You don't expect the great man to be on time, do you? He's got to make an entrance.
You don't like the guy, do you, Rescob?
Like him? Well, frankly, and this is not in confidence, no. I think he's... I don't like him.
Well, the boy can pitch and he's good copy. That's all I care about. So long as he keeps winning and popping off, I'll put his name in the paper.
Yes, I guess that's about it. Oh, here comes the great man now.
Well, hiya, fellas.
Oh, hi, Quint.
Oh, everybody, what's new? Well, way to bring around another round of drinks, huh? Everything on me today, boys.
What's a celebration for, Quint? You signed that new contract?
No, but I got a real story for you fellas, the hottest story in town.
Yeah, well, let's have it.
Sure.
Well, fellas, you see, it's this
way. When do you go in the Army, Boyle?
Huh? Oh, now, wait a minute, Ras Cobb. What makes you think that I'm going into the Army?
Easy. There are only two stories about a ball player these days. Either he's been traded or he's been drafted.
Oh.
You haven't been traded because the wire services would have carried it, so you must have been drafted. How about it?
Well, yeah.
Well, what do you think of that?
When do you report, Boyle?
Well, in fact, 2 weeks from today.
Say, what are the pilgrims going to do without you, Quint?
Those bums? Oh, they'll probably end up in the end just where they started, on the rocks.
Well, they're going to miss you, big fella. They're going to get another pitcher who's won 78 games in the last 4 years.
Yeah, and 3 World Series.
Say, Quint, maybe you'll be assigned to special services where you can pitch for an Army team. They're doing that with a lot of the ball players.
Yeah, it's an idea, Quint.
Oh, now, wait a minute, fellas. Wait a minute. I'm not that kind of a sucker. Listen, I just tore up a contract for $17,000. Ain't I giving up more than most guys? No, sir, not me. I'm not playing baseball for $50 a month. If the Army wants me to pitch, let him pay me.
Oh, so that's the
way
you're
I be excused, Mr. Boyle? I've got an important story to cover. A dog show. Good day, John.
Hey, what's the idea of that crack?
Of course, Boyle's remark about not playing baseball for 50 bucks a month got into the papers, but the fans were used to reading about him popping off, and nobody seemed to take it too seriously. Anyway, 2 weeks rolled by. Boyle, against the advice of everyone, stayed up most of the night and showed up at his draft board at 6 a.m. with his eyes half shut, but his mouth anything but shut.
All right, men. Attention, please.
Yeah.
Men, the members of your draft board have tried to give each and every one of your cases fair consideration. We're sending you now for your physicals. Most of you will be accepted for some branch of the armed services. We wish you the best of luck. Now, I'm appointing Quentin Boyle here as your leader. Boyle, will you take these papers?
Oh, sure, sure.
Fall in behind Boyle here, men. Here are the papers.
Right.
And, say, Quinn.
Yeah.
Could you sign this for me? My youngster collects autographs.
Oh, sure, sure. Why not? There you are.
It's mighty nice of you, Quint.
Okay.
Well, you're in pretty good shape, young man. Boyle. Quentin Boyle. Oh, the pitcher?
That's me, Doc.
Say, I'm glad to know you. I saw you pitching the series last year.
Oh, yeah? Well, be seeing you, Doc.
Say, Mac.
Yeah?
You see who that was? Quint Boyle, the pitcher.
Boyle, eh?
Yeah, that's right. Whole indispensable, they call me. Hey, would you mind picking up one of those rubber stamps and let me have the bad news? What is it, accepted or rejected? Uh-oh, I'm in.
You're in, Boyle. Say, aren't you the fellow who said you wouldn't play baseball for $50 a month?
Well, yeah, but what if I did? There isn't anything in the Army rules that says you gotta play ball, is there?
Nope. All right, move along.
All right, Quint, we'll get a few shots. Now, here, slip on this baseball cap and this Army shirt. Get it, huh?
Yeah, all right.
All right, hold this rifle now like it was a baseball bat, see?
Sure. You mean like this?
Yeah, that's swell, Quint. Now, hold it.
That's a good shot.
Now, one more, Quint.
How about it, Quint, okay?
Sure. Take your time.
Hey, say, Quint, are you taking your furlough or are you leaving for camp right away?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Don't be silly. I'm leaving now. I just can't wait till I get my hands on those Japs and Nazis. I'm off for camp today.
Hey, Quint, will you sign this match cover for me? I want to send it to my girl.
Sure, kid, sure.
And then will you autograph this shirt, Mr. Boyle?
Anytime. Why not?
All right, man. On your feet, everybody.
Hey, you. You with the fountain pen.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you. Didn't you hear me?
Yeah, sure, but who's smoking?
All right, pipe down. All right, Bright Eyes, what's your name?
My name's Boyle. Quentin Boyle.
Boyle, the pitcher?
That's right.
Yeah, you're him, all right. Well, I've been wanting to meet you for 3 years.
No kidding.
Yeah. Ever since I saw you pitch in Philadelphia. You should remember that game, Boyle. You should, you gold brick.
Huh?
That was the day you had a hangover. The A's beat your brains out.
What?
You tried to hang the rap on a kid playing first base. Remember how you made a monkey out of the kid by throwing your glove down on the ground, putting on a big act? Remember how you wouldn't leave the game when the manager took you out? Yeah, that was a great exhibition, all right.
Now, look here, chum. You make some pretty long speeches, don't you? What makes you such an authority on baseball?
I've done a little pitching.
Oh, yeah? Oh. Well, pardon me. Your name wouldn't happen to be Matheson or Johnson, would it?
The name is Harash. Mike Harash.
Harash? Never heard of it. Well, that must have been a pretty classy league you played in, chum.
It was out in the Philippines, in Hawaii. It was just an Army team.
Oh, yeah? Amateurs, huh? Well, you must be a wonderful soldier if they bring you all the way back home just as soon as the shooting starts out there.
I'm back here to make soldiers out of tramps like you.
Says you. Well, that's all right. Hang around, Sarge. You teach me the Army, and I'll teach you baseball.
Bright Eyes, you give me an idea.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm just passing through this reception center like the rest of you guys. I'm shoving along to the regular base with you. I think it could be arranged for you and me to be in the same outfit. Yeah. I'm choosing you, Bright Eyes.
Well, the way I get the story, this Sergeant Mike Harash was a tough monkey. Drilled Boyle's company until their tongues were sunburned, and Boyle found just one routine day in camp tougher than pitching a doubleheader in St. Louis in August. But he managed to give Harash an arrogant smile at the end of the day, even when he had to pull it up from his shoes. Boyle's fame began to diminish as an interest in the Army replaced an interest in baseball among the men. But then one night, Sergeant Mike Harash came into the barracks with an announcement.
All right, man. All right. Fellas, they're forming a divisional baseball league in the camp, and infantry is supposed to enter a team. I think we can get a pretty fair ball club together. Who wants to play?
Put me down for the outfield, Sarge.
Rogan, right. Schneider. All right. Pearson.
There are plenty of volunteers for the infantry ball club, but everybody in the barracks is watching the one man who could make their club a standout.
Johnson.
Quentin Boyle, old indispensable.
Zimmerman. Hardy. Anybody else? No? Boyle?
Not for $50 a month, Sarge.
No. Quent Boyle, the guy who tore up a contract for $17,000, wasn't playing baseball just for the fun of it. Well, with Harash pitching, the infantry went out and beat the engineers and the tanks. As a pitcher, Harash didn't have much class. His fastball was straight as a string, and his curve was just a wrinkle. But the Sarge worked hard. He bore down on every ball. He pitched to hitters as he drilled recruits. Now, meanwhile, the Pilgrims were clinching the pennant without old indispensable Boyle, and it was getting to be too much. His old club didn't need him. The infantry didn't need him. They needed a hypo for his ego, and so...
Sergeant.
Huh? Oh, yeah. It's you, Boyle.
Yeah. Say, I'd like to go out for the team.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're a little late, aren't you?
Well, if you feel that way,
I don't feel any way. The club can use you, so come on out.
Okay. Okay.
Well, the way I get it, Boyle was a big hero again. He put on quite an act, prancing around the field, affecting all the exaggerated mannerisms of his big league days. He took his place beside Harash as the Sarge warmed up on the sidelines and made him look like a rank amateur in comparison. He bore down right away, although this was his first workout in months.
All right, get the ball out of here. What's the matter, Sarge? Where's your stuff today? You're not very quick today, are you, Sarge? Or is that what you call your fast ball? Look at this.
It's all right, boy. I can use that. You better take it easy, though.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me how to pitch, are you?
Look, now get this. What I think of you and vice versa don't make any difference. But I just got word we got to wind up this league in 10 days.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I see. That means that they're shipping us over, huh?
I don't know what it means. All I know is we got to play 3 games in 10 days. Now, can you take the last two? The artillery and the ack-ack?
Oh, sure. Why not, Sarge? It's a breeze.
That's all I want to know.
Hey, watch this one, Sarge.
Sure you aren't bearing down too much, Boyle, for the first day out?
Me? No.
But he was a big lug. He was bearing down too much, just to show up a guy that couldn't have matched him in a million years. And so when Saturday rolled around, Boyle showed up with a sore arm. There was a cold drizzle of rain falling, and as he warmed up, Boyle felt a dull throb of pain every time he threw. And so he did what he would have done if he had still been old indispensable on the Pilgrims.
Hey, Sarge, I gotta talk to you.
Yeah, Boyle?
I can't pitch today, Sarge.
You can't pitch?
No.
Why can't you pitch? The club's counting on you.
Yeah, I know they are. But, you see, I got a sore arm, and if I try to pitch in this weather, it might wash me up for good.
It might, huh?
Yeah, that's the way it is. You know, I gotta take care of the arm.
Yeah. You take care of that arm, Boyle.
And so Mike Harash went out to pitch his 3rd game in a week. And what happened? Artillery knocked his ears off. And, this is the way I get it, afterwards, the boys came into the dressing room.
Boyle.
Yeah, what do you want?
Get out of here. Huh? Get out of here before you smell up the place.
Hey, what's eating you anyway?
You don't belong with soldiers, you quitter. Your public should have seen you today. Seen you letting down your own outfit.
I told you I had a sore arm.
Oh, nuts to your sore arm. I don't believe it. Old indispensable, huh? You're as expendable as a skunk. Now, go on, beat it.
Now, listen here, wise guy. Don't pull your rank on me. I don't take it, see? If you didn't have on those three stripes, you wouldn't talk like that.
Wouldn't I?
No.
Well, there ain't no three stripes on this baseball shirt. Now, what are you going to do about it?
I'll do plenty.
Are you cheap phony? Come on. We're all even now. Let's see what you can do when you haven't got the edge.
Okay, punk, you ass for it.
Right, you.
No.
Back in the big leagues, somebody always stepped in and separated you after a couple of token punches. But not here. Nobody stepped in. They just stood around and watched.
Oh, attaboy, Mike. That's
all right.
Boy.
All right, all right. All right, that's that. Now, listen, you guys. Anybody ask questions, just remember, I started it. I hit him first. That's one part of the story they'll believe. Throw some water on the big dope, somebody.
Nobody asked Quentin Boyle for his autograph now. In fact, nobody bothered to talk to him unless it was absolutely necessary. And then there came an order for Boyle to report to Colonel Menon. It puzzled the great man. It couldn't be on account of a fight. Colonels don't bother with such things. The old man couldn't demand an explanation for his refusal to pitch. Baseball wasn't an official detail. On Monday afternoon, Boyle stood before Colonel Menon's desk and waited anxiously for him to speak.
Oh, yes, Boyle. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Boyle, I suppose there have been some rumors around the camp.
Yes, sir, I have heard some, sir.
Well, I'll come to that. I haven't been following the baseball tournament very closely, but I understand the infantry hasn't much chance of beating anti-aircraft for the championship if Sergeant Harash pitches. Now, this isn't an order, Boyle. It's a request. I'd like to see you pitch that game for the infantry. I want to see the infantry win.
Well, sir, if you'll pardon my asking you, why do you want the ack-axe licked?
I'll tell you why. And I'm depending on your discretion as a soldier to keep this secret.
Yes, sir.
I want you to promise that you won't write or phone anybody from now on.
Well, nobody's waiting to hear from me, sir.
All right. Here it is. The infantry is leaving for a combat area overseas immediately after the game on Wednesday.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm telling you this, Boyle, because I want to impress on you the importance of winning the game for infantry.
See.
I want the men to leave this country with the morale and attitude of winners. That's why I'm asking you to pitch. You can win for them. Will you do it?
Well, I'll be glad to pitch, sir, but my arm is...
Good, then it's settled.
Yes, sir, but I don't think that the other fellows want me, sir. They,
Nonsense, nonsense. Of course they want you. You're the only big leaguer in camp.
Yes, but you don't understand, sir. In the last game, my arm...
Yes, yes, you just give them everything you've got. I'll be up in the stands. That's all, Boyle.
Yes, but I ought to explain,
Good
sir.
Good day, Boyle.
Thank you, sir.
They let him pitch all right, but as Boyle warmed up on the sidelines, his teammates had made it clear that he wasn't one of them. Nobody said anything. That was the trouble. They were giving him the silent treatment. Boyle walked out to the mound, tossed a few pitches to the catcher, and sensed there was something wrong again. Not a sound was to be heard on the field. There was none of the encouraging infield chatter that usually preceded the first pitch. He realized that he was entirely on his own. That's the way he had to win. On his own.
Okay. Okay, if that's the way you guys want it, I'll show you. Even with a sore arm, I'll show you.
He pitched slowly and carefully the first inning, nursing the arm he had foolishly strained in practice just to show up Mike Harash. He kept his curve low and his fastball high, and he got the ack-axe out on his reputation. But even up in the stands, you could see he was throwing balloons up to the plate.
Attaboy, Quint! Attaboy, indispensable! I can't touch you, Quint boy!
A kid yelled an encouraging word from the stands, a kid in his outfit who didn't know that he was a heel, and Boyle looked up in surprise as he walked toward the dugout, looked up and grinned in sheer gratitude. But in the dugout, nobody had a word of any kind for him.
All right, let's get a hitter up there.
Now, wait for that good one, Jack.
You can do it, boy. You can do it.
All right, so don't talk. I'll win without. I'll win. If only this arm will hold out.
He got them out in the second. And then to work himself out of a hole in the third, he let go with a real fast one.
Oh, it's starting. It's starting. The pain will be worse the next inning. By the eighth, I won't be able to stand it. And I've got to stand it.
You could see him wince all the way up in the stands. Coyle's arm was hurting him. Back in the big leagues, he would have told the manager and they would have hustled him out of there. The trainer would have worked over him. There'd have been a sun lamp to bake the soreness out. In the big leagues, they didn't take chances with $17,000 pitching arms.
Attaboy, Quint. You gotta be none of your hands, big boy.
Well, he had one rooter, the kid up in the stands. He got by the fifth. And then when he walked to the dugout...
All right, who's the hitter up there?
You're up, Steve.
All right, Steve, let's get some runs in there this time.
Hey, Sergeant. Sergeant.
Yeah?
Look here. I've been watching Werner out there. The guy tips off his fastball and his curve. He throws the fastball off his ear, straight overhand, get me? But he gets a sidearm motion into his curve. Now watch that and you can unload.
He just grunted. But Boyle's information was straight. The infantry combined a single and a double and got two runs out of the inning. Boyle went into the sixth with a lead. He bore down again to protect that lead. You could see the pain twist the face of the big fellow as he walked off the mound in the seventh. Pain that had started as the merest twinge and now was a dull, aching throb.
Oh, I can't make it. I can't. I've got to tell him. I can't go out there again. I'm ruining my arm and throwing it away. I'll tell them that. They can't hold that against me. They can't expect me to pitch my arm away, can they? Certainly not. It's my living. I'll just say that now. No. No, I'll finish this game if it kills me.
He dragged himself out to the mound for the eighth. And as he did, something happened. Yes, spontaneously, the infield chatter had broken out. His teammates seemed to sense the great fight that Boyle was putting up. He looked around at them, bewildered. He mopped his brow and faced the first hitter.
What am I hearing things? Why, the guys are talking to me. Yeah, they're not sore anymore. No, they're for me. No, I gotta make good.
Yes, the infield was beginning to talk it up as of old. But everything Boyle could put into his pitches wasn't enough to keep a run from scoring. But it was only one run. One run because in the last pitch of the inning, Boyle exploded the best fastball of his career across the plate, ladder high. The pain seared his arm like a white-hot iron. It dangled limply as he came into the dugout.
Nice going there, kid. Just hold him one more time.
Here's your sweater, Quint. All right, fellas, let's give Quint another couple of runs now.
But there was no score. Boyle sat huddled in the corner of the dugout. It seemed that he'd been there only a moment when it was time to take the field again.
All right, Quint, let's go, boy. Just three more outs and we got him.
It took every ounce of his strength for Boyle to pull himself to his feet. He walked unsteadily out to the mound, shook his head to clear it, and peered at the first hitter. He threw up a ball that had nothing on it but the cover. But miraculously, the shortstop knocked down a line drive that was labeled for a hit. But the next man hit a clean single to left. Boyle's legs sagged under him. All sense of control deserted his arm. He walked the next man and put the winning run on base.
I know what I'll do. I know. The fast one. I gotta throw the fast one. Just give me the fast one. Just a few more. Please. Just another fast one. Something snapped that time, all right. Yeah. Yeah, that one finished it. My arm's gone for good. I've ruined it. I'm through. But I don't care.
Boyle faced the last man. He worked the count to 3-2. Looked around at the runners poised to take off on the next pitch. He mopped his brow and then gazed long and steadily at his dripping fingers. And a temptation whispered itself in his ear.
I know what I'll do with Spitter. throw a spitter. With the sweat on my fingers, I could throw a spitter. I've done it before. They never caught me. I can get him out with a spitter. I'll throw it just this one last time.
He wound up, and then just as he was about to deliver the pitch, he held it. But they called it a balk. And the two runners on base moved up one. Now there were men on second and third, and still the final pitch to come. He wound up and threw it. It wasn't a pitch, it was almost like a convulsion, but it came straight over the plate. It was an easy grounder toward the pitching box. Boyle grabbed for it unsteadily. He didn't trust himself to throw it to first. His fingers gripping the ball like a vice, he ran with it, almost stumbling. He crossed the bag, inches ahead of the runner. He tripped and fell, but he held onto the ball. And then, not hearing the crowd that was yelling its head off for him, he got up and, still holding tight to the ball, he walked off the field. Quint Boyle, old indispensable, a winner at last.
Terrific, wasn't it? Boy, that was the greatest game you ever pissed in your life.
Say, you were solid, kid.
Well, thanks, fellas, thanks. But I got to get going. I got some packing to do.
Yeah, ain't we all?
Well, wait for me.
Huh? Oh, sure, Sergeant.
Sure was a great game, Boyle.
Yeah, it sure was.
I didn't realize your arm was that bad. I wonder if you'd do me a favor, Quint. Will you shake?
Why, yeah, sure, I'll shake.
Thanks. And could I ask you another favor?
Yeah, I guess so, sure.
Would you sign this? I'd like to have your autograph, soldier.
Sure, Mike, sure.
Well, fellas, that's Stanley Frank's story from Collier's, Old Indispensable. The story of a guy who traded a $17,000 pitching arm for the privilege of calling himself a soldier.
He was there in the clutch, that guy.
You bet he was. Well, see you next week. I'll be back with another yarn. So long, fellas. So long. So long, Bill.
This has been another visit to the Sportsman's Club for the sports stories of Grantland Rice, Dean of American Sports Writers. Granny Rice will have another story for you next Saturday at the Sportsman's Club, so remember, you're invited. In today's story by Stanley Frank, the adaptation was by Gerald Holland. Jack Hartley was Quentin Boyle, Joseph Julian played Mike Harash, and Raskob the narrator was played by Reese Taylor. George Crook was at the organ. Grantland Rice appeared in person, and the production was under the direction of Tony Leader. Friends, did you know that the Red Cross now operates 350 service clubs and recreation centers for men and women overseas? Did you know that recreation equipment such as motion picture projectors and athletic goods, that shows with local vaudeville performers or talented servicemen, many of them former professionals of stage, radio, and screen, are all supplied by the Red Cross? Have you heard about the 85 Red Cross club mobiles manned by young women recreation workers that provide coffee, donuts, music, and movies for men at isolated posts? In the United States, 180 Red Cross service buildings are built at Army camps and naval stations. The Red Cross has also finished hundreds of Army-Navy hospital recreation buildings, as well as thousands of sunrooms in military hospitals. Yes, that's just a small part of what the American Red Cross is doing for your boy. That's not even touching upon the great work the Red Cross does in saving lives, the prisoner of war service, the disaster relief, and the many other services. But the Red Cross needs your help. Your contribution so it can carry on its vital activities. So give today to the American Red Cross. This is the National Broadcasting Company.